It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other with a lot of help from DAV.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This Father's Day, visit Boot Barn for top quality gifts that pay tribute to the lasting heritage of the West. From handcrafted cowboy boots and American-made felt hats to durable jeans and outdoor gear, our in-store experts can guide you as you shop, assisting with boot sizing and helping you navigate the store so you can find the perfect gift. Share a piece of the American spirit with him this Father's Day. Boot Barn, unwrap the West.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
So we had a huge new business pitch.
Attention, all hands on deck.
When, boom, our only printer was fried.
Up in smoke, like your chances of landing that account.
Well, I just sent the file to Staples. Devin, the print associate, was on it. She had it printed and bound same day.
So where's the drama?
There wasn't any. Staples made it super easy.
Inconceivable. For the product, services, and experts you need, Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Now, two federal judges have struck down most of President Trump's tariffs. A second ruling today from a federal district court judge in Washington ruled President Trump does not have the legal authority to impose tariffs on an emergency basis. You might call it self-dozing. First, Elon Musk, and now the highest levels of his Department of Government Efficiency, are exiting Washington. A federal judge is stopping the Trump administration from revoking Harvard's ability to enroll international students. Professor Nancy Gibbs with the Harvard Kennedy School tells ABC News.
In a way, this is about all of higher education all over the country. This is about students all over the country. This is about research and progress all over the country and all over the world. This is, in no way, is this just about Harvard. We just happen to be the face of it, but this is about everyone.
Reports say Israel and Hamas may have a 60-day ceasefire deal. The White House says it's a U.S. plan, but didn't confirm a truce. This is ABC News. Today, the FBI and law enforcement in Louisiana upped the reward for information to find two remaining escapees, $50,000 per fugitive. Officials claim they are closing in on Antoine Massey and Derek Groves on the run for almost 2 weeks now.
We're confident that we have strong investigative leads as to their whereabouts. But we still need the public's help, because as soon as we get one lead, then they relocate to another place.
Jonathan Tapp, special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office of the FBI. A man charged with stalking Jennifer Aniston and crashing his car through the front gate of her home has been found mentally incompetent to stand trial. The U.S. economy shrank in the first quarter. First drop in 3 years, growth brought down by a surge in imports as companies in the U.S. hurried to bring in foreign goods before the president imposed those massive import taxes. Consumer spending also slowed sharply. Markets are mixed, have been all day. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
This Father's Day, help Dad be all he can be with a gift from the Home Depot. Because he's not just Dad. He's the handyman of the house. The plumber in a pinch. And the emergency mechanic. Upgrade his gear this Father's Day with the Husky Mechanics 270-piece tool set from the Home Depot. Now on special buy for $119, a $695 value. For every kind of dad, find the perfect gift this Father's Day at the Home Depot.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says President Trump's tariff and trade policies are chaotic and harmful.
I think what Congress wants to see is an end to these erratic and chaotic announcements.
So he has trade promotion authority?
He does not.
During a tour of Peck Family Farms in Chippewa Falls Wednesday, the Wisconsin Democrat said her impression is that Trump's trade announcements are handshake deals. She noted that authority to set trade policy actually rests with Congress. Prison time for a woman who had THC in her system at the time of a Rock County crash that killed four people.
A Rock County judge on Tuesday sentenced 25-year-old Alexis Bodecker to 16 years in prison and 4 years extended supervision. Bodecker pleaded guilty in February to four counts of homicide by vehicle, use of a controlled substance. She was driving a group home vehicle in April of last year when she went through a stop sign. The resulting crash involved an SUV and a semi-truck and killed the four passengers in Bodecker's vehicle. All adults with cognitive disabilities who are not wearing seatbelts. Along with having THC in her system at the time of the crash, Bodecker was 23 weeks pregnant and was not authorized to drive the vehicle. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A group of wake boat owners sues a northwest Wisconsin town over its ban on the activity.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports plaintiffs from Texas and Florida claim the Burnett County town of Scott is depriving them of the use of their wake boats by not allowing the boats' use on four lakes with the majority of their shoreline within the town. The wake boat owners have property on one of those lakes. It's the first challenge against local wake boating ordinances in Wisconsin, which have been enacted after repeated attempts to regulate them have failed at the state capitol. Wake boats carry powerful motors and ballast tanks, producing waves large enough to allow a surfer to follow behind without a tow rope. Critics say the heavy waves damage shorelines and lake bottoms. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Graduation parties are just around the corner. Do you have your cheese trays ordered? O'Galley Cheese has call-ahead cheese and sausage trays. Their cheese trays feature O'Galley's own squeaky cheddar cheese curds. Fresh local butcher's meat can be added to any tray. Be sure to ask. Get your orders in ahead of time so there's no worrying about it. Call the store at 715-283-4211 to place your order today. O'Galley Cheese, open 7 days a week, located north of Durand on Highway 25.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered showers and maybe a small storm popping up this afternoon and into early this evening. Otherwise, tonight, we dry things out and start to warm things up. Highs today will make it to the mid-70s and by tomorrow, the mid-80s. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
By Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome in to a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the MAHA Commission report, as well as some of the latest surrounding pesticide laws in different states, as well as looking for some more confirmation from the EPA. Elizabeth Burns-Thompson with the Modern Ag Alliance will join us. In segment three, we're going to talk about farm succession planning. Mike Downey from Uncommon Farms and Farm Estate will join us for that conversation. And then at the end of the show, we'll look at news headlines, including celebrating Mental Health in Ag Day as we close out Mental Health Awareness Month as we're wrapping up the month of May. We'll hear that report and more coming up in news headlines at the end of today's show. Let's get things started here on AOA and take a look at what's happening in the markets. Corey Bratlin with AgMarket.net joins us. Corey, it's good to talk with you again. And as we're closing out the month, it looks relatively quiet, slightly lower this grain and oilseed complex here on Thursday.
Yeah, it is, Jesse. Hey, great to be here again. So, yeah, grain markets under a little pressure here this morning, especially like July corn down a nickel. We kind of saw that yesterday a little bit where the July was down, you know, 8 cents for most of the day and closed out. And then with December corn down, you know, 3-4 cents. So we're seeing that spread action kind of weaken and taking this big inverse out. And some of that, I think, is attributed to we kind of hearing that Japan was tendering for some corn. The U.S. lost out on that business, and it went to South America. So I think there's some concern here that South America is starting to get a little bit more competitive to the U.S. And, you know, we're going to start to see them guys start to take over the exports a little bit later on this summer. But until then, the U.S. is still probably some of the cheapest corn here for the next probably, you know, 30 to 45 days here in the near term. So, but we've got, like I say, July corn down about a nickel this morning. December corn, new crop contracts are down 2 to 3. Soybeans pretty much down 5 to 6 across the board to start the day.
Well, and as we close out the month, when you look at these grain markets, is there one complex in particular that stands out to you that's maybe looking at some seasonality and some bullish momentum as we move into June?
Well, I mean, seasonality, we typically, like on corn, May and June are our 2 months that we usually put in some major highs. So, and with that said, we are watching some trends that typically we will go back. I think it's at least 20 of the last 20 years. I think it maybe even be more than that. It might be closer to 40 of the last 40 years. We have taken out the February crop insurance average price, which is back around 470 on corn. We have taken that out all those years. So we just really haven't had a weather premium added into this market in place. So, yeah, so we're going to close out the month here a little bit on a weak note and kind of get into June. Now, with that said, you know, June's always an interesting month, and I always kind of watch myself personally around that third week of June, June 22nd, you know, give or take. That is a week that we have a strong tendency to put in either major highs or major lows. And, you know, as I look at the weather forecast, Jesse, it kind of suggests to me that, hey, we may be signaling that we might continue to grind ourselves a little lower and put in a significant low here coming here in the middle of June. Soybeans continue to, I mean, they're breaking down a little bit here today, the last couple days, but they continue to hold above the 200-day moving average, and which is very supportive, I think, in the big picture, because we are still dealing with, you know, world-ending stocks, very, very plentiful. And just, you know, demand out of the U.S., which, not a surprise, it's slowing down, which is very typical this time of year.
Well, Corey, I know as well, we saw late Wednesday the U.S. Court of International Trade halting President Trump's attempts to impose broad tariffs under emergency authority. Any impact on that ruling? And it sounds like the administration is going to challenge this higher up in the courts, but any impact of that ruling into the commodities and the livestock trade at all here today?
So far, no. I mean, I think this is just more about weather here today. And I think, you know, what we know about with this ruling come down is it is going to get challenged. It's going to go to the appeals court. If it doesn't get reversed there, then we could see it eventually move on to the Supreme Court. So typical things that, you know, go through the court system. So I think, you know, the market is like, well, let's just pump the brakes here a little bit. We've got to, if they're going to run it through the appeals and then possibly the Supreme Court, it's going to take a little time yet. So there's no reason to get too excited. Now, what it's going to do, I think, in our eyes, that or my eyes, on the trade in situations, negotiations with other countries, it probably puts that thing, those at a little bit of a standstill here for the time being. So I don't expect any, trade deals or details to get announced anytime soon here now with this ruling until we get it figured out through the court system.
How about over in that livestock sector, Corey? Cattle futures showing some green here on Thursday. It's been a volatile week there. We've talked about it on the show, that false report of screwworm in Missouri kind of sent the markets for a ride Tuesday. Wednesday was volatile again. What are you tracking in this cattle complex as we close out the month?
Yeah, the cattle market sure kind of feels very heavy up here. Cash, they are looking for stronger or asking for higher prices this week. I did see, you know, like the box beef was up again here this week. We should get back to full numbers on the kill here next week with a full week of processing. So, but it what I am seeing in here, though, is it doesn't feel like we've got the outside money, the funds, you know, that we like to talk about. We don't see them chasing this market anymore. They're still holding fairly large long positions in both corn or and live cattle and feeder cattle. So, and I think, you know, that what we saw on Wednesday with that screwworm with the market, you know, having such a big range and being down, you know, $6 on the feeder cattle and $3 plus on the live cattle, I think is just it's an eye opener for everybody in that, hey, if we're carrying these large positions, one little event like that, if it's confirmed, could be pretty, pretty wild. And I'd like to point out too, Jesse, is, you know, June 2nd here, next Monday, we will kind of have new limits established. I haven't seen the grain ones yet. I know they're out, but the cattle limits on live cattle is going up to $7.25 a hundred. Feeder cattle are going to go up to $9.25 a hundred. So, you know, now it becomes even more, potentially more volatile if a news story like that would happen to break. So it does feel like maybe this cattle market has started to peak out a little bit in here, and maybe some cash flow or some money flow coming out a little bit. So I think, you know, all the risk we feel is to the downside in here in the short term.
That's a good point. When you get limits expanding like that, it can make things much more volatile in the event that something does hit the markets. Corey, good stuff as always. And I know folks want to reach out for a conversation, take a look at your guys' intel and more. They can just go to the website, can't they, Corey?
Yeah, just head over to our website, which is just agmarket.net. And you can find out how to get a hold of us there.
Corey Bratlin, agmarket.net. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, we're going to have a discussion about the MAHA Commission report, as well as some of the recent news surrounding pesticides and more. Elizabeth Burns Thompson with the Modern Ag Alliance. She joins us next on AOA. On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed what crop inputs we import and why farmers need market access through trade with J.R. Raisner, Corn Board member from Indiana.
Potash is a big item in growing crops. Right now, we import about 90% of the potash that we use. Canada is our number one supplier. We also source from Russia, China, and Belarus. Making sure that we have that product available at a price that we can, you know, afford to put that on the crop. We talked quite a bit about the input side and, you know, the ability for the U.S. to produce and supply the inputs that we need. But as we look at the product we grow, nobody grows corn better than the U.S. farmer. And there's a lot of demand out there in having these trade deals in place, having access to these countries. Right now, we need those export markets to use the crops that we have.
Stay up to date and learn more at ncga.com.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope, their hope.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
over the last several days, there has been a lot of talk throughout agriculture about the MAHA Commission report, the Make America Healthy Again Commission report, and some of what the report talked about regarding crop protection tools that farmers use across the country. We're going to talk about this and a few other related topics here today. Joining us now, she's Executive Director of the Modern Ag Alliance. Elizabeth Burns Thompson is with us. Elizabeth, it is great to hear from you again. I hope all is well.
It has been, and it's great to be back. I think the last time we visited was maybe out at Commodity Classic here earlier this year. So
you are right. It's been a couple of months since we've had a chance to have a conversation. So good to have you back with us here today on AOA. Let's start with the Modern Ag Alliance reaction to that MAHA Commission report. Again, kind of questioning a lot of crop protection tools that our farmers use across the country, Elizabeth.
Yes, we were certainly disappointed to see a kind of broad range. We use the term questioning, of specific chemistries. Glyphosate and others were called out in multiple places in the report by name, in addition to calling into question, the science and the process behind the approval of these tools and efficacy of these tools kind of writ large. And so I think, on behalf of agriculture, not just our organization at Modern Ag, but I think you saw that with a broad range of agricultural organizations, all across the country, expressing disappointment that, that there's a lack of understanding of just how important these tools are and the amount of research and due diligence that goes into these things as part of, producing a safe and abundant food supply in this country.
Well, in thinking about all of this, and from what I understand, talking with folks and learning more, is that we could see maybe some policy recommendations later this year, August, September timeframe. I've heard that floated around. And I know, again, a lot of concern throughout agriculture. So, I mean, where does this go from here, and what can folks in agriculture do to try and make their voices heard with what's going on with this report?
Yes, and you are correct that we understand this to be kind of a two-part exercise by the MAHA Commission, in that this was really the first step as a identifier of targets or drivers or kind of key factors that were meant to be identified in this report. Obviously very disappointed to see, agricultural pesticides and chemicals being part of that conversation, but frankly not surprised based on kind of the buildup to it. What has us most concerned is exactly what you teed up there, Jesse, is that this is meant to be kind of the identifier that is the building blocks or the foundation that will become the second piece of this exercise, which are the tactics or the recommendations, the policy recommendations on changes that necessarily need to be made. And so if this report is what we are building off of to dictate what those recommendations or policy changes could be, agriculture should be concerned. And so to the second part of your question is, well, then what do we do about it? I think it's really important that, we've said this time and time again, that farmers necessarily need to be out there telling their story. It's explaining to more folks, be it your members of Congress, reaching out to members of the administration, not just the ag community, right? We need to be stretching further beyond that to explain not only what we do, but how we do it and why we do it, so that there's an understanding that these are critical tools. They are handled with care and following very specific instructions. And they're a key piece of what ensures that you can put food on the table and fuel in the tank and, clothes on our backs in this country in an affordable fashion.
We are having a conversation with Elizabeth Burns Thompson, Executive Director for the Modern Ag Alliance, here today on AOA. And Elizabeth, I think tied in with all of this, with the MAHA report and more, and just thinking about crop protection in general here in the U.S., I know this week your organization joined a large number of ag organizations signing a letter urging Congress to pass the Agricultural Labeling Uniformity Act. Can you talk about that a little bit for us?
Yes, and I think it's telling just the sheer range and number of organizations that came together. I think that should be hopefully a showcase to Congress and the administration. One, that this is an issue that impacts, the entire country, right? Coast to coast, it is impactful in all commodities and all ranges of the country. But also that this is an incredible priority. This is a bill that was introduced in the last Congress. We anticipate it to be reintroduced in this new Congress that we are in now in a very bipartisan fashion, is what we've seen in the past. But what this does is lend itself to what we were talking about, actually, if folks tuned into our interview earlier this year, about providing some clarity and consistency around the labeling provisions. And while labels sound somewhat benign, when we're talking about pesticide labels, those are really, you know, the foundational piece that these products depend upon. They're effectively the permit that allows a product to come to market. And they also, you know, as farmers are very well aware, these labels are not short. These are extremely detailed specifics on, you know, product composition, product handling, product application, and all the special provisions that go along with this. So we're talking about an immense amount of detail and research and robust oversight that goes into the creation of these labels. And so the consistency of those things from state to state is so incredibly important. In large part also because it's been the building block that we've seen lend itself to much of the litigation that has really put much of the availability of these tools at risk. And when I'm talking about that, you know, almost everyone has seen the TV commercials about, you know, joining a class action lawsuit or something about some type of exposure to you name a chemical. That's coming out of largely inconsistencies around labeling regulation and labeling provisions. And so we really are just seeking some consistency for the manufacturers, for the retailers, and then at the end of the day, for the farmers and consumers that are depending upon that.
We got a couple minutes here, and I'm curious, talking about this Agricultural Labeling Uniformity Act and more, and I know that your organization has been part of tracking some state court wins here as well that have kind of been related to crop protection in Georgia and earlier this year in North Dakota. How does all of this, or does it not, tie together in some ways, Elizabeth?
They are all, and I'm glad you brought that up. These are all very complementary initiatives, right? So the work that's being done in the state legislative chambers, everywhere from Bismarck to Atlanta, we had an immense amount of legislative conversations in about a dozen states so far this spring. Some of those continuing even today, and like you mentioned, a few that got across the finish line and were signed into law. But what those effectively do the same thing at the state level that we are talking and speaking to on the federal initiative with the Ag Labeling Uniformity Act. You know, there's some legal nuances that we'll save for a conversation for another day, but this does absolutely, you know, is a product of state law. And so going in and providing that clarification that if a company follows their rules and they cannot be subject to litigation on something that is outside of their scope or their control, right? So if the EPA in this case dictates what's on a label, how a label is drafted, and what can be on a label, then a state can't conflict with that. You know, right now we sit in a position where manufacturers, you know, we've talked about it before, between a rock and a hard place, right? You've got the litigation industry and these trial lawyers that say, we are going to continue to sue you until you add disclaimers or warnings or you name it to labels. On the other side of that, you have the regulator with the EPA that says you as a manufacturer cannot add those things to a label. It's misbranding, and there's no science to back it up. And so manufacturers just need clarity, and agriculture needs clarity, and that's what the bills did in North Dakota and Georgia, and were signed into law. We are very pleased to see that, and we're hoping to be able to provide that clarity even more consistently with a federal effort as well.
Well, appreciate the explanation and the insight there. Final minute, Elizabeth. It's been great to talk with you again. Anything final you would share or reiterate here today?
We are very excited about, you know, continuing our work and expanding into some federal efforts as we get into the summer and the fall months, the latter part of this year. If folks are curious about what we're working on or how they can, you know, learn more, I encourage them to reach out to our website, modernagalliance.org.
modernagalliance.org for more information. With that, Executive Director for the Modern Ag Alliance, Elizabeth Burns Thompson. Elizabeth, always good to have a conversation with you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Elizabeth Burns Thompson with us here today on AOA. And again, a lot of different things going on surrounding crop protection and having those tools in the toolbox and more. And I know this is going to be an ongoing conversation in agriculture for quite some time ahead, especially with what's going on with the MAHA Commission and more. Coming up next here on AOA, something else that has been an ongoing conversation for several years, and I got a feeling it's going to be ramping up even more as we look to see a pretty big transition on the farm to the next generation. We're going to talk about farm succession planning and get a look at where the trends are at currently. Mike Downey with Uncommon Farms will join us for that conversation coming up next on AOA Agriculture of America.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durant. Bauer Built, built on service.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk down 19 to 1916, July down 43 to 1950, August down 33 to 1948, September down 11 at 1939. Live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher on the day, even though the cattle complex looked for higher cash markets. They did see some higher boxed beef prices, and that's helping to support the markets. There was some very light cash cattle in the south, which was a dollar higher, so that did also provide some support as well. Also helping out matters is the fact that most of the nation is expected to get moisture next week, which will help with summer pasture and potentially keep drought at bay for some areas. Now, the hog complex, meanwhile, they closed mostly lower on the day. Again, it's the same old story. The markets get up to their technical resistance levels. The trade can't push past that. Even though pork cutout values were higher, hogs once again were lower today. June live cattle up $1.60 to $215.52. August feeder cattle up the 430 limit to $299.92. And June hogs down 25 cents to 100.0. At the Board of Trade, corn markets lower due to positive weather. Soybeans higher. Wheat also higher due to the ruling on President Trump's tariffs. New crop corn down 2.25 to 441.25. New crop beans were down 0.25 to 10.37.25.
It's just around the corner, the 62nd annual Durand Fun Fest, June 6th through the 8th at Memorial Park. The Fun Fest medallion hunt starts June 2nd. Chicken dinners will be served Saturday and Sunday to support Faith Lutheran Church. Music with the Johnny Holm Band on Friday and the Dweebs Saturday night. Badgerland Midway rides are back and the Grand Parade is Sunday at 2. Durand Fun Fest, sponsored in part by Advent Health and Security Financial Bank.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
And Ranchers Informed, AOA. Now back to
continue here on today's Agriculture of America, let's talk about succession planning on the farm. That's a topic that has really been a key topic, I would say, for the last several years as we're starting to see that generational transition on the farm and ranch. Joining us for a conversation, succession planning lead at Uncommon Farms, Mike Downey is with us. Mike, it's great to hear from you again. It's been too long since we've had you on the show. Hope all is well.
Yeah, doing well, and thanks again for having me on. Looking forward to it.
So let's just start this conversation. I think a good spot to get rolling here is, you know, we're into essentially almost the first half of 2025. We're kind of nearing that point. As you look at some of the key trends when it comes to succession planning on the farm and ranch, I mean, what's the state of succession planning, I guess I would say, here in the first half of 2025?
I don't think the trends are probably anything new for your listeners. You know, the age of the farmer and landowner are the oldest in history, and you look at the demographics and just what's happened with farmland values and inflation, and you put all that together, and we just have this, you know, significant transfer of wealth that's estimated to happen over the next 10 or 15 years. But I tell you what, Jesse, I've tried to switch my strategy instead of talking about the trends and the pitfalls and the things to avoid, to really focus more on what are the common traits of those that are, you know, experiencing good success in transitioning multiple generation. And that's been really my focus here in 2025 and the folks I'm talking to and the information I'm putting out.
Well, then let's lean into that and talk about that. I think that's an interesting perspective and a very good way to look at this. And so what are some of those key traits that you're trying to tell folks as they're, you know, having to sit down and take a hard look at their succession plan?
First and foremost, you know, I can live this with my own family farm story, but, you know, really understanding the difference between succession and estate planning. Oftentimes I meet with folks and they have a will or a trust and they estate plan, but to the most part, that just, you know, estate planning transfers assets. It doesn't touch on all the other components of a good succession plan that are important. So that's really one thing that I'm really, trying to help folks understand is, you know, what is the long-term goals for your family farm? And let's just see how your estate plan plays out as a complement, because more times than not, those two don't drive. So we need to, you know, have a conversation on how to get things so that they complement one another.
Well, and that's a good point, because I think that it feels like sometimes when I hear folks talking about succession planning and more, there tends to be a lot of maybe misconceptions on things. I'll hear that from time to time, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, just as you think about, I guess the way I look at it, I'll hear some misconceptions, but I also know it's just in general, it's a tough conversation to have, isn't it, Mike?
It is. You know, you think about farming, you know, generally speaking, you don't see too many, retirement roasting parties for farmers that are retiring. It's just a little different thing. You know, it's just, it's not just a job. It's a way of life. It's identity, you know, sort of. Sometimes that makes it more difficult to talk about, you know, stopping doing what we enjoy. You know, and sometimes the only thing we know or enjoy. But, you know, when you look at the trends occurring in the industry, it's certainly important. And this is not just a farmer problem. I think it's really an industry-wide problem in agriculture that we need to get more of the next generation involved and train and educate them on, you know, what it is, you know, the skills required to carry on a family farm business or any business in agriculture. And so that's, you know, really just understanding that, because as folks are living longer and able to do what they enjoy longer, that's starting to, you know, we're seeing this trend that, you know, the older demographic, if you will, the more experienced and wise is still, you know, controlling a lot of the farm businesses and just getting that next gen more involved.
We're talking about farm succession planning with Mike Downey from Uncommon Farms. Mike, what are some other key traits that you are explaining to folks when they're working with you on their succession plan?
I don't want to give too much away because I'm actually offering a opportunity next week, just a kind of a 1 hour webinar where I'm going to go into seven of them that I've spent a lot of time, not only from my own experiences, but talking to other peers and mentors in the industry that I look up to that also work with family farms and really just come together with this compilation list, specifically of, you know, family farm transitions and those that experience it. But, you know, certainly focusing on succession first, you know, training and educating our future management and leaders, those are a couple components. Also, you know, figuring out this whole fair and equal dilemma, you know, that we hear about a lot in the industry, and really getting our arms, you know, wrapped around our own numbers, what that looks like as things do transition. What's the financial feasibility of the business, you know, if they're having to buy out family assets and, you know, really kind of really going deep to really understand that.
Well, and we'll highlight where folks can join you for that discussion next week here in just a moment. And definitely understand that, want people to kind of tune in for that. I guess I would ask you then this, I mean, just from a baseline starting point, say someone is totally no plan, you know, maybe they got a few notes written on a napkin in a shoebox, something like that. Like they don't have any sort of succession plan even started. What is just like a baseline reminder that everyone needs to think about in terms of just getting the ball rolling, so to speak?
Sometimes the most difficult part is, yeah, just getting that conversation or that thought process started. And I really try to encourage folks to almost think about what is an ideal transition outcome in a perfect world. Ignore everything around us, taxes, the noise, all the external factors, all those misconceptions you mentioned before, just try to ignore that all. Just what in a perfect world does that look like? And let's kind of prioritize what your family goals are. And then we can start talking about the different tools and things, brainstorming the pros and cons to help you get there. And so I think it maybe sounds a little elementary, but that is, you know, I found more difficult for folks to do just to sit down and think that through with a, you know, kind of almost beginning with the end in mind, if you will.
Well, and I know too that just starting that conversation, you know, a lot of times I hear this so much that folks, they think that, you know, they don't want to put a timeline on when they're going to be done because then that's when they're done. And, you know, they want to keep going. They love working the land and love being a farmer or a rancher, et cetera. And they don't, it's hard to give that up and let someone else kind of step into that operational role. But I know that there's been some cases where it can end up being a conversation that happens too late, unfortunately, and then that has its own set of challenges, right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think just try to remove the R word from our vocabulary and change that rhetoric to, you know, what's a different role that we can transition to or graduate to? You know, how can we get out of the way without getting out of the way? You know, you know, just like any business, folks, you know, key players need to get that hands-on experience. And, because if we expect them just to all of a sudden take over one day without any of that and continue the business forward with success, that's a really strong ask, in my opinion.
Well, Mike, let's highlight what you have going on next week where folks can get more insights and information. Let us know where can folks find more details? How can they take part, et cetera, et cetera, Mike?
Yeah, so I am giving an informational webinar on the common traits of highly successful farms next Wednesday. It's just virtual via Zoom, 1 o'clock. That's sponsored by the Uncommon Farms. You can find the registration for that out on the Uncommon Farms website under succession planning, just uncommonfarms.com. And also we'll be doing some more in-person one-day format workshops this summer that we're working on finalizing the details. Several locations across the country, actually. Des Moines, Texas, Georgia, two or three others that we're working on to give folks opportunity where they want to come in and really get more hands-on for their own situation.
Fantastic. Well, and again, uncommonfarms.com for more. Final minute here, Mike. Anything else you would mention or reiterate to folks today when it comes to succession planning?
Well, you know, it may be a little bit of a cliche, but I don't, you know, there's no better time to get started than now. The farms that we work with on a consulting basis with Uncommon Farms that we coach and, you know, we really get started the day they start their business, you know, to start, you know, thinking about that. It's not a one and done plan. It's not necessarily a product or a thing you get, you know, succession planning. It's really a living and evolving plan that you just need to continue to visit and adjust as things change and keep on top of.
Well, again, folks can go to uncommonfarms.com for more. With that, succession planning lead at Uncommon Farms, Mike Downey. Good to talk with you again, Mike. Thanks for joining us on AOA, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
AOA coming up next. We're going to continue. We're going to take a look at some news headlines as we celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month for the month of May. We also celebrate Mental Health in Ag Day as we close out the month. We're going to talk about that, take a look at a few other news notes from across agriculture. That's coming up next on AOA.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. That's 800-659-7540.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SAND25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SAND25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SAND25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on board.
The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake.
Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we take a look at news headlines. Well, the U.S. Court of International Trade on Wednesday halted President Trump's attempt to impose broad tariffs under emergency authority, ruling that the move exceeded presidential powers. The decision, issued by a 3-judge panel, follows multiple legal challenges asserting that Trump overstepped his bounds, destabilizing U.S. trade policy and triggered economic uncertainty. At least 7 lawsuits have been filed against the tariffs, which were a central feature of President Trump's approach to international trade. While tariffs are generally subject to congressional approval, Trump argued that he could bypass Congress under the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act, claiming the country's long-standing trade deficits constitute a national emergency. At the height of the policy, tariffs were imposed on imports from most of the world, jolting global markets. However, the plaintiffs maintain that the IEEPA does not grant the president authority to impose tariffs. And even if it did, they argue, the law allows emergency actions only in response to an unusual and extraordinary threat. The United States has recorded trade deficits for 49 consecutive years, hardly an unprecedented condition, they contend. In their complaint, the businesses describe President Trump's emergency declaration as a figment of his own imagination, quote unquote, arguing that trade deficits, which have persisted for decades without causing economic harm, do not constitute a genuine emergency. Now, still, the Trump administration's defended its position by pointing to historical precedent. Officials argue that courts previously upheld President Richard Nixon's use of emergency powers to impose tariffs during an economic crisis in 1971. Now, the court's ruling emphasized that the Constitution delegates trade authority to Congress, not the executive branch. The Trump administration may next consider appealing the decision to the Supreme Court. Well, when farm labor shortages are discussed, fruits and vegetables are often some of the first commodities that come to mind. However, the livestock sector is quick to point out they need workers as well, and they don't have the benefit of the H-2A program. Julie Anna Potts is president and CEO of the Meat Institute.
If we could improve H-2A, and we've long argued that we would like to be part of H-2A in the meat and poultry processing sector, that would help a lot in alleviating across the harvest part of meat and poultry production, what we could do to enhance our labor force.
Potts says consumers only need to look back at COVID as an example of what happens when meat processing facilities are short of workers. She noted that during the pandemic, productivity decreased by 30% to 50%. So much of the conversation about addressing labor needs revolves around technology and automation. Potts says while many technologies in development have great potential for the poultry and meat processing sector, technology is not a silver bullet.
But that takes sixth capital. And as you know, the market for beef and pork, a little bit in chicken, has not been as strong as it was before and during the pandemic. So I think you saw maybe a bit of a slowdown on some of those investments. They will continue, but it is not going to solve the problem comprehensively. We need immigration reform. We need a steady, stable, legal workforce. And no amount of automation is going to take that place. People working in our plants will be repurposed. They won't lose their jobs because of automation.
Potts added that as technology is incorporated into processing, there will be plenty of places where human workers are needed, from technicians to frontline workers, as well as C-suite. Another question facing meat processors and all of agriculture is how to get the next generation interested and involved. And finally, here today on AOA, May, of course, Mental Health Awareness Month. And as we close out the month of May, we celebrate Mental Health in Ag Day. Farm and Ranch Media's Susan Littlefield has more in this report.
Today is Mental Health Awareness Day for agriculture. Join me in my conversation with Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer as we focus on our mental health.
Senator Bennett from Colorado, he and I introduced the resolution that would designate May 29th as Mental Health Awareness in Agriculture Day. And we wanted to do that because we're seeing depression increase, stress increase in farmers and ranchers. In fact, the farmer suicide rates, they are 2 to 5 times higher than the national average. So this is a problem that we can't ignore. And we want people to know that it is okay not to be okay all of the time. What matters is that Nebraskans know there are resources out there that are available to them during their time of need to help them handle those challenges that they're facing, that stress they're facing, and not be overwhelmed by it.
Senator, if you could take one moment to just talk to that one producer out there. Doesn't matter what generation they're from. What would you want them to know about how important their mental health is?
It's extremely important. We want people to take care of themselves so that they can continue to be a strong son or daughter, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, so that... so they can take care of their families. And we do that through this Nebraska Rural Response Hotline. So I hope people take advantage of it.
You have been an advocate and a champion for mental health and agriculture. And you've kind of pushed it to say, hey, we need a national day to recognize what's going on.
We do. You know, there's many challenges that people face in their lives. But one of the most, impactful challenges is on ag producers, on farmers and ranchers. There's tremendous stress when you look at all the uncertainties out there. The big one is weather, natural disasters, changes in markets. Your life's to work there is dependent on others. So I would just say, you know, the ag industry being a part of it, it is not for the faint of heart.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for being such an advocate like you are for mental health in general, you know, for our military men and women, for other folks. But again, really putting agriculture in the limelight coming up May 29th.
Well, thank you for highlighting it. It's extremely important.
Joining us, Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer. I'm Susan Littlefield.
And thank you, Susan, for that report. We're out of time on AOA. Coming up on our next program, we'll talk with Randy Russell from the Russell Group, get an update from Capitol Hill. We'll hear from Tate Bennett with the America First Policy Institute, and we'll discuss the state of the swine industry with Chris Ford, VP of Corporate Swine Lending with Farm Credit Services of America. Thank you for joining us, as always, here for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
We'll be right back.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Extreme weather and climate disasters have sadly become a reoccurring part of our lives. But while 83% of pet owners live in disaster-prone areas, less than half have a disaster plan in place. Even worse, these plans often tend to forget about our furry.
I learned a lot of life lessons from my dad.
He's been there my entire life, and he's been a great example of what a father should be.
He always embraced and taught me to be a cowboy.
Dad has the weight of the world on his shoulders.
The guy is extremely talented and very knowledgeable.
He's a good man and a strong man who's not afraid to do what he needs to do for his family.
It ain't easy every day, and he dang sure made it look easy.
And I'll always be thankful for that.
Boo Barn, keep west.
Ugh, I gotta get business cards printed for my entire staff, but where do I even?
That was easy.
Oh, okay, Staples. But can I have bigger stuff printed too, like huge signs and banners?
That was easy.
Nice. And what if I had to ship a package?
That was easy.
Have my passport photo taken?
That was easy.
Coffee and snacks?
That was easy.
What about the latest laptops?
That was easy.
Earbuds and headphones?
That was
easy. Office chairs?
That was easy.
I think I also need to get some Staples.
Seriously?
I had to ask.
For everything your business needs to get the job done.
Staples. That was easy.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found